Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. For the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? In the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Lift your hands to him. Jesus, you love me to my soul. Oh.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You love me too much. Oh, my. I don't know about you on tonight, but I'm grateful that the Lord loves me too much. His love is kind. His love is patient. His love fills my heart with so much peace and joy. That was J.J. Harrison and the youth for praise choir. I don't know about you tonight, but I feel it in my spirit, in my soul, that I'm just grateful that the Lord has excess love for me tonight. And not only for me, but for you also. Amen. He has excess for us, and we are so grateful tonight and so thankful that the Lord looked beyond all of our faults and saw our needs. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am Pastor Kimberly Black, and it is an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to worship with you on tonight. I hope that song has moved your heart like it has moved mine. I've got to get myself together so that we can continue with our worship experience on tonight. Amen. Just got a little caught up when I started thinking about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me. How he's brought us through danger, seen and unseen. He has excess love for us tonight. And I don't know about you, but my heart's just grateful. I want to give honor to God tonight for his presence that we feel. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're at home. Maybe you're at work. Maybe you're in the hospital. Maybe you're riding in the car or on the bus. But I want you to know that the presence of the Lord is with you right now. The word says where two or three gathered together in his name, he said he would be in the midst. And saints of God, I feel the presence of the Lord moving tonight. I feel the presence of the Lord moving because of his excess love. I honor the Lord tonight. I thank God for those that share this platform with us and make this possible that every week we can come together to worship and praise the Lord, and magnify him, and lift each other up, and pray for one another. We thank God for the Butterfields. We thank God for Pastor Sherelle Pennington. We thank God for Elder Dante Farmer and Elder Kathy Manyweather, and we truly thank God for Archbishop Ruth Smith, who's a covering for us for the Light of Portland broadcast. And we're just truly grateful tonight that we are co-laborers together in the gospel to advance the kingdom of God, to compel men and women and boys and girls to come to Jesus Christ. That's why we do this week after week. We don't do this because we want to be household names. We don't do this so that we can get pats on the back. We don't even do this for money. We do this because we love the Lord, and we want the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to be spread abroad. And this platform helps us reach families, individuals, homes that are in Georgia, Texas, Washington, Nevada, California, New York, Chicago, Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever you have family and friends and you share this phone number with, guess what? We're reaching your family tonight. The word goes forth week after week, and we come together
that we may share the word of God together. I'm so excited about tonight. We don't have any announcements. We know that we're getting ready for the Christmas season. We want to continue to pray for men and women that are unemployed. We want to continue to pray for those that are houseless. We want to continue to pray for that mother or that father who feels like they're unworthy because they can't give their children the Christmas that all the other children are getting. But I speak life today into that family, and I want them to hear it loud and clear that Jesus is the reason for the season, and he is the gift that keeps on giving. And so I want to encourage somebody that's listening today. Maybe you know somebody that struggles with Christmas because they think that's about the gift, the bike, it's about the ring, the earring. They think that's what it's all about. But I want us this year to share with someone the gift of eternal life. This Christmas, what a wonderful, wonderful gift to give and to receive on the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we come together all over the world to celebrate the birth of our Savior. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give your life to the Lord? So let us not forget to share Jesus, to share the peace of God, and to share the love of God as we're getting ready for this Christmas season. I hope and pray that you had a blessed Thanksgiving. You were able to spend some quality time with family and friends, and then even being able to rest. Amen. I hope that you come tonight with a mind ready to receive a word from the Lord. We're not going to belabor the hour, but we are going to pray. Pastor Sherelle is going to take us to the throne of grace. Following her prayer, we'll be coming back with a word. So get your Bible, get your pen, your highlighter, because we're going to walk through the word tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to begin. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 is where we'll begin. So give you some time to get your thoughts together and get your Bible together, because we're going to share the word on tonight. Yield this call over now to Pastor Sherelle that she may lead us to the throne of grace.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, Father, to say that we desire to hear from you, a word from you, Father. We desire, Lord God, that you would allow us, Father, to get an understanding of who you are and who you created us to be. Now I pray, Father, that in the name of Christ Jesus, you would bless the woman of God, Pastor Kimberly Black, Father, as she begins to preach and teach your word tonight, Lord. Let every ear be a listening ear, Father. We pray right now in the name of Christ Jesus that you would allow us to have a hunger and a thirst after you, Lord, Father. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus that you would allow us, Father, to desire to be pleasing unto you, that we might do great and mighty works. So, Father, we lift up our governors, our president, our people, Lord God, in power, Father. We know that power unchecked corrupts, Lord Father. So we pray, Lord God, that you would put some kind of check and balance system in the government, Lord God, that would allow them, Father, to begin to rule and do things according to your will and according to your way. Even if they don't know you, Lord God, but they would begin to serve and do what is right by your people, Father. We lift up the police departments, Lord Father, that you would begin to touch their hearts and their minds, that they would police, Father, with uncorruption, Father, that they would police with love and compassion for people, Lord Father. We lift up those in the prison system right now, Lord, asking, Lord God, Father, that you would touch their hearts and their minds. Let them know they're still loved and cared for. Let them know that they may have committed a crime, a sin, Lord God, but that you still love them and that we as your children love them just as much as you tell us to love one another, Lord. Lord Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would keep them protected on the inside and that there would be no unjust treatment in prison, Father. We lift up those in the hospital, those that might be sick and shut in, Lord. We ask that you would touch the body, touch the heart of mind, Lord Father. For those, Father, that might be ill mentally, Lord God, we lift them up to you, Father. We pray, Lord God, that this is the time of year where there are many alone and saddened because they may have lost loved ones during this time of year, or their loved ones are not with them, Lord God, to share in Thanksgiving or to share in the holidays that we celebrate our Jesus and his birth, Lord God. So we pray, Lord God, that you would rebuke depression and you would rebuke those things that would cause people, Father, to take their lives before their time, Lord Father. We pray right now in the name of Christ Jesus, Father, that you would allow us, Father God, to know that there is no God that is greater than you, that you are our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our Lord, Father, and that all our hope, Father, would continue to be in you, that you would lead us, guide us, shape us, Lord. We ask in the name of Christ Jesus that you would allow Holy Spirit to have his way tonight. Feel Pastor Kimberly back. Touch the hearts and minds with Holy Spirit, with each one that is attentive to hear. Let them reach others, Father, and have them call in on this line tonight, Father, that they would hear a word, Father, that would pierce to their very marrow, Lord God, that your word, Father, would be that two-edged sword that would cut and then heal, Lord. We want to be in a place, Father, that we grow in you, to glow from glory to glory to glory. We want, Father, to be pleasing in your sight tonight, Lord God. We want to live our lives sold out to you. Show us, teach us how to do that. Teach us how to be the body of Christ. Teach us how to be your bride, Father, how to love one another, Lord, how to lead one another to you, Lord God, how to help when one another needs help, Lord Father, to be able, Father, to do a great and mighty work in your name. We desire, oh God, we desire that this broadcast, Father, would be a beacon, a light, Lord. Continue to allow it to shine. Brighten the light, Father, that people from all over would hear a word from this broadcast and be delivered and set free, that they would desire to find a home, Father, a church home that would allow them fellowship one to another, that they would be strengthened in the body, Lord. We desire, Lord God, to do your work and to do your will. Bless this broadcast to do just that in your name. And, Father, I pray once again for Pastor Black as she brings the word. Have your way in her tonight, Lord God. Have your way and bless her and her family and everyone she touches. And we pray, Lord God, most of all, for our children. Touch them, Lord God. Deliver them, Lord God. Use them for the upbuilding of your kingdom. And everyone that has any part to do with any of the thing of growth in our children, we pray for them as well. Now, Lord God, we'll be careful to give you all the glory. We'll be careful to give you all the honor, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, because it is due your name. If we had 10,000 tongues, it would be not enough to give you praise. If we had 10,000 hands, it would be not enough to wave our hand to give you glory and honor for who you are. But, Lord God, we do give ourselves to you, because it is all we have to give unto you. And so tonight we want to worship you. We want to worship and magnify you. We want to surrender unto you. We want to give you all of us, Lord God. Have your way in us, Lord God. And allow us, Father, to see who you created us to be and begin to do that which you call us to be, not to just be hearers, but to be doers of your great and your mighty word. For we love you, Lord God, with an unsavoring love, Lord God. And we love you, Lord God, and we need you. We need you more today than ever before. So, Lord God, we stretch our hands to you. Have your way. Speak to us tonight, Lord God. Speak to us tonight, Lord God. Speak to us tonight, Lord God. We say hallelujah. Hallelujah, for it is the highest praise that we can give you, Lord God. We say hallelujah because we surrender ourselves unto you. We say hallelujah because we are ready to receive from you tonight. And it is in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
You deserve my worship. You deserve my praise. Thank you, Jesus. Adoration and glory, it belongs to you always. Oh, you deserve my worship. Yes, you do, Lord. You deserve my praise. Adoration and glory belongs to you always. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, just wanna thank him for saving me. Oh,
you deserve my worship.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Lord.
You deserve my praise.
You deserve.
Gracious Father, we thank you and we praise you. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. God, I pray for the hearers tonight. I pray that we would hear, God, you speaking to us. And then, God, I pray that we not only hear you speak to us, but I pray, God, you give us the spirit, the courage, the faith, the wisdom, and the understanding to do what your word has commissioned and commanded us to do. Oh, God, we are your vessels, and we yield ourselves over to you tonight. Use us, Lord God, in thy service. Draw us nearer, closer every day. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight, and we appreciate you. And we thank you, Jesus, for this word that you're about to speak into our lives today, that we may be that church you're calling for in these last and evil days. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord tonight, saints of God. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to be coming from tonight. This kind of, I am a teacher by choice. I've been called to preach the word of God, but my heart's desire is to teach. And so I always want to start out by giving some foundation to help us get a better understanding of what it is we're preaching about. So Peter was recognized as a leader among Jesus' disciples. The book that we're about to look at tonight, 2 Peter chapter 1, was written by Peter. He was one of the inner circle. There was Peter, James, and John. After Pentecost, he preached a sermon, and it was one word: repent. And the Bible says about 3,000 people were saved from that sermon. Peter was known for speaking and acting without thinking things through. He was brash and impulsive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the one who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter got his name from Jesus, which means rock. The purpose for naming him the rock was because he was to be a leader within the church. Not that the church in the building in which we go to, but the church of a spiritual house, which is composed of living stones, which was built upon Christ Jesus as the foundation. Peter was a shepherd tending to the flock. He wrote 1 Peter to comfort and encourage the believers in the midst of suffering and persecution. Anybody going through anything tonight? I want to encourage you tonight to examine 1 Peter, study it. And 3 years later, he wrote this epistle, 2 Peter, to warn Christians about false teachers and to exhort them to grow in their faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And this evening, for the next few moments, I want to focus our attention on the latter part of the purpose in which 2 Peter was written. I explained to you a moment ago that it was to encourage believers to grow in their faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to spend the next few minutes looking at. How do I grow in faith? How do I grow in grace? How do I grow in the knowledge of the Lord? I'm not going to read all of this, but when you get a chance, start at verse 1 and go all the way down to the conclusion. But tonight, for the sake of time, we're going to start our reading at verse 5. In verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "For this very reason," and I'm reading from the New International Version. It says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past
sins. Verse 10 says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers and the hearers of his word. In 1962, being aware of the controversy and disagreement among Americans about the Vietnam War, songwriter Hal David wrote the lyrics for a song that did not get released until April 15, 65. Something about 3 years later. For the next few moments, I would like to use verses 5 through 7 and the title of this song as my text today. And tonight, my text is What the World Needs Now. As we look around the world, we see and hear of all types of spiritual wickedness that we, the body of Christ, have inherited. We have inherited systematic racism, plantation capitalism, sexism, classism, nationalism, ageism, and violence. The world is currently experiencing its 20th epidemic pandemic. Would you agree with me that it is time for us to make every effort to ensure that the needs of the world are met? I'm so glad that you all agreed with me tonight. I am so glad. I hear you, amen. I hear you say, yes, Pastor, I agree. I'm glad that you did. And I am also glad that you are asking the question, what do I need to do? What is my part? What is my purpose in ensuring that the needs of the world are met? Remember, our title tonight is What the World Needs Now. Well, I'm glad you're asking those questions. Those are good questions. Let us examine our faith. Faith is more than a belief in certain facts. It must result in action, causing one to be more disciplined and to grow in Christian character and to die trying truly transformed life. Faith is just not speaking some stuff into existence. Faith is what we do, my brothers and sisters, and we must die trying to demonstrate a truly transformed life. For when we walk by faith, we live by faith, then we do faith. Faith is an action. Faith is what we do. Hebrews 11 and 1 says that we are to demonstrate true faith. So let me help you out here. Let me give you some clear understanding of what faith does, okay? Faith leads to righteousness. Faith seeks God. Faith believes in his goodness. Faith has confidence in his word. Faith obeys his commands. American journalist Dorothy Day said that every act of faith is not who we are, but faith is what we do. The Bible tells us that each of us has been given a measure of faith. And Peter tells us, baby, you got to work hard at adding to your faith. Pastor Black, what are you saying? I'm saying we must be actively involved in our own spiritual development. We cannot leave it up to the pastor, leave it up to the Sunday school teacher, leave it up to the YPWW teacher, leave it up to the BTU teacher. Can't leave it up to the deacon. Every now and then we got to pick up the word of God and study it for ourselves. Every now and then we need to dig deep into the scriptures, get out that dictionary, get out those different interpretations of the Bible, and study the word for ourselves. After I get done preaching tonight, you are to have a hunger and thirst after righteousness and go back into 1 Peter and 2 Peter until you've got a good understanding, until you see yourself growing.
and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said to us tonight. Peter said, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to add to your faith. He didn't say leave it in the hands of the preacher. If we don't grow, it's our own fault. Oh, I'm going to say that again because that was tight. If we don't grow, it's our own fault. Now, I know we go to places and people are teaching, and if that word is not speaking to you, then you need to get to a place where the word speaks to you, because the word of God brings correction, it brings conviction, it brings strength, it brings courage, it brings hope, it brings life. And so if you're sitting somewhere and the preaching don't do none of that, baby, you better get up and run. Because I don't want to go to church and go in the church. I'm talking about me tonight. I ain't talking about none of y'all. I don't want to go in the church a wet devil and come out. I don't want to go in the church a dry devil and come out a wet devil. You hear what I'm saying? I want some change to be done in my life. I want some transformation to be done in my heart and my mind. And that's my reason for studying the word of God. That's my reason for engaging in fellowship with like-minded people. All right, let me get back here because I only got a few minutes. But Peter says, add to your faith goodness. Goodness is the sixth fruit of the Spirit. The Bible tells us that the word good actually means holy, pure, and righteousness. Literally, goodness is godliness. Goodness can often be seen in our action. Our heart also has to be pure. The goodness of Christ is to be demonstrated in our lives every day. 24/7. Peter then says, add to your goodness knowledge. Knowledge, according to the Bible, means to have a clear and confident awareness of the truth and the facts that pertain to the kingdom of God. Remember, I made mention earlier about those spiritual wickednesses in high places that we have inherited. Well, the clear and confident awareness is that we are living in perilous times. Oh, my brothers and sisters, and the truth of the matter is God is in the midst of us. But can I give you some facts tonight? I want you to take this to the bank, that God is in control. I know we got another outbreak of this coronavirus. I know it. But let me tell you, God is in the midst of us, and God is in control. And I have clear and I have a confident awareness that he's going to bring us through it. Hallelujah. To knowledge, we must improve and increase our self-control. Oh, somebody shout, I need some do-right in my life. Come on now. I need some do-right in my life. My Monday motivational is watch what you say, because what you say become your thoughts, and eventually your thoughts become your actions. All throughout the Bible, we find the tools we need to improve and increase our spiritual, our self-control. A few of my personal favorite cleaner-uppers on stinky thinking is Psalms 101, verse 2. The Bible simply says, help me to behave myself wisely in a perfect way, especially in my own house. I don't know about y'all, but every now and then my thinking goes to the left. Come on now. And I need some help to get me on the right path, on the right track. Yeah, say amen, amen. Every now and then I just need some help. And I go to Philippians 4, 8, and 9, and it clearly gives me a list of things to think on. And then it tells me if those things don't give praise, don't give honor, don't give glory to God, then, Tim, you don't need to be thinking on those things. Peter tells us to our self-control, add perseverance. Oh, somebody say, I need some stick-to-itness. Yeah, I need some stick-to-itness. Where does that come from? I'm glad you asked. The Holy Ghost. The only way we're going to get some stick-to-itness is if we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We said, well, Pastor Blake, how do I get more of the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm glad y'all keep asking some good questions tonight. Let me tell you, prayer, and fasting, reading, studying, meditating, and applying the word of God to our lives. All of this and more helps us to increase our ability to stand, to be steadfast and unmovable. And when we're standing at a crossroad, when the world is on our shoulder, when our back is against the wall, what will he do? What do we do? We keep the faith. Keep the faith, my brother. Keep the faith, my sister. Peter tells us perseverance, we ought to add godliness. Godliness is holiness. And I want to tell you, and I've told you this before, that holiness is not a denomination, but it is a lifestyle. God told us in Leviticus 11 to be holy. Pastor Black, what does it mean to be holy? To be holy means I am set apart. I am different. I am unique. I am not like the world. I'm like Jesus. We must remember that we are the salt and the light of the earth. And it is our responsibility to reach the masses. It is our responsibility to go and be fishers of men and women. It is our responsibility to go out into the highways and byways and compel men and women and boys and girls to come to Christ. Saints, we must remember that we may be the only Bible that someone will ever read. Peter goes on to tell us to your godliness, you ought to add some mutual affection. In other words, some brotherly love. Well, what is that? What is brotherly love? Brotherly love means that we must be more concerned about each other than we are concerned about our own selves. We must have empathy. We must be forgiving. We must be patient. We must be kind. Just like the song says, excess love. It's God is so kind. God is so loving. God is so patient. And he loves us more. Well, saints of God, that's how we are supposed to love our brothers and sisters. Not just the ones that want us to love them, not just the ones that allow us to love them, but we need to love those that say, I don't want nothing to do with you. You got to love them especially. You got to love those that say, I don't want to hear you talk about Jesus. I don't want to hear you talk about the blood. I don't want to hear you talk about, you got to love them the most. Ah. Because somebody has said in their heart that there is no God. And they need to know, my brothers and sisters, that God is real. He's real in my soul today. They need to know that he's powerful. They need to know that he is all-knowing. They need to know that he is a loving God, a forgiving God, and a just God. We got to love each other. We got to pray with each other. And we got to pray for each other. Brotherly love must be extended to everyone. Peter says that our faith must go beyond what we believe. It must become the things that we do. Then he says, if we lack any of these Christian characteristics, Peter said, we're blind. We're nearsighted. And I want you to know something, that people that are blind and nearsighted to the things of God lose hope fast. I'm not talking about being naturally blind and naturally nearsighted. I'm talking about spiritually. When we are spiritually blind, when we are spiritually nearsighted, we lose hope in God. We forget about he's in the midst of us. We forget about let the Lord fight your battle. We forget about he's made us to be conquerors. We forget about he made us to be the head and not the tail. We forget about in his mercy following us all the days of our life when we are spiritually blind and spiritually nearsighted. My brothers and sisters, I'm glad you're asking me questions tonight. I hear y'all asking questions. Pastor Black, what does the world need now? I'm glad you asked me that. Well, if Frederick Douglass was here tonight, he would say that this is a time and a time like this, we need a burning irony, not a convincing argument. We don't need light, but we need fire. We don't need the gentle shower, but we need thunder. We need the storm. We need the whirlwind. We need the earthquake. Ooh, what does the world need now? Is it for the feeling of the nation to be quickened? What does the world need now? Do we need the integrity of the nation to be roused? What does the world need now? Do we need the decency of the nation to be startled at its hypocrisy of the nation to be exposed and its crimes against God and man to be broadcasted and condemned? Yeah, that's what Frederick Douglass would have said if he was here today. He preached that in 1852 at the celebration for the 4th of July. But y'all, Frederick Douglass ain't here tonight. Y'all got Kimberly. And Kimberly is telling, here to tell us, the Holy Spirit is using Kimberly tonight as a vehicle to get us to hear what the world needs tonight. The Holy Spirit wants me to let you know, my brothers and sisters, that the world needs you and me to increase and to enhance and to improve and to expand and to enlarge, to stay focused, to be committed, to be diligent, to be dedicated, and to make every effort to grow in the grace of God by adding to our faith goodness. The world needs us to add knowledge to our goodness. The world needs us to add self-control to our knowledge. The world needs us to add perseverance to our self-control. The world needs us to add godliness to our perseverance. And the God, he needs us, the world needs us to add brotherly kindness to our godliness. So tonight, my brothers and sisters, I leave you with this charge. I leave you with this challenge. I leave you with this word tonight as an encouragement to each of you to be diligent and to be active in your spiritual growth, to be strong in your faith, and to remember that you are living in a world with an audience of one. And our number one assignment is to reach the masses. Our only goal in life is to live a life that brings glory and honor to God. Why? Because he deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. Adoration and glory, it belongs to him always. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you. We thank you, oh God, for your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying for what the world needs now. I know it's not another dollar. I know it's not another president. I know it's not another election. I know it's not another man or woman to stand up and proclaim anything. What the world needs now is for the body of Christ to stand up and apply 2 Peter 1:3-11 to our lives, that we may meet the needs of this dying world. Use us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we may appreciate you, Lord. And God, as we leave this place and this time and this space of worship, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would fill us up, that we may do what you've commissioned and commanded us to do. Fill us up that we may add to our faith. Fill us up that we may do faith and not just be faith. We love you tonight, Father. We appreciate you. We thank you, God, for giving the hearer ears to hear. We thank you tonight for giving the doer a do right spirit. And may the grace of God and his sweet communion rest, rule, and abide with us, hence now and forevermore. For what I say unto one, I pray, grow in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until next Sunday, my brothers and sisters, know that I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. Be blessed and have a blessed and prosperous week.
Up inside, feel.